15 minutes ago. So you expect them to start kicking in at some stage. But again, the fear inside Sinner, the horrible feeling that he must have had as it started to creep up on him. Ace from Cirundolo, 30 love.
If on top of that, you know, if Cirundolo starts acing,
well, yeah, that's trouble ahead of last thing he needs.
Poor Sinner.
But he's not going to want long rallies either. So, yeah, he's going to have to get going. Backhand return, deep to the backhand of Cirundolo. Sinner moving a little bit better to his forehand side. Backhand down the line. Forehand big from Sinner, much better. Just unloaded on the forehand inside it.
Tonkins.
Huge forehand. 30-15.
Well, the bad thing is because he's feeling so...
Still bent over, though.
Still bent over so badly.
Oh, he's...
He's got to go for almost winners.
Yep.
It's not going to work.
Any ball that's sitting anywhere remotely hittable, he's going to go for. Standing just behind the baseline to return this second serve at 30-15. Ooh, that was tight. And he just bunts it cross court just wide, Sinner.
I don't see how he's going to finish this match.
No.
Sorry to say, but...
Certainly not this set.
I don't see how he's going to finish this match, period. I don't think it's not kicking, and...
It's only if the pills kick in and they start to work. There's a return forehand drop shot from Cirundolo. Smartly done. Sinner actually quickly up to that. Lob goes up from Cirundolo. Sinner slowly moving backwards. That ball almost landed in. God, he didn't want to run back for that, Sinner. But he did win the point. It's 40-30. Drop shot's probably a good idea.
Didn't work though, but yeah, you're right. It's awful to say, but what do you know? If you want to win the match,
why not?
You got to make him run right now, because
game point Cirundolo nets the first serve. I'll keep you in touch with all the rest of the matches, of course. But this is a pretty remarkable set of circumstances here on court. Philippe Chatrier, good return from Sinner, good forehand up the line from Cirundolo, hacked back by Sinner, and then he batters a forehand cross court.
That's the way to say it.
Decided enough.
Because he did bat that ball. I mean, he felt like he had like a piece of wood in his arm, in his hand, and just, I mean, he hit that ball so hard. Wow.
Unbelievable.
All right. Decided. Egalité.
Egalité, yeah. I think as someone was pointing out, they often say 40 first and then egalité when it's the next juice. In comes Cirundolo off a forehand. He actually had more space to put it into, but the lob's not coming back into court from Sinner. And he again is bent over.
Crouch down from the avantage.
Leaning forward. Can't see his face from our position. He looks like he's really struggling. He must be wondering whether he has it in him to finish it off. We've seen him come through some of these tough situations with cramp. He had it in Rome. He looked awful there, but got through it. First serve misses from Cirundolo at advantage to the Argentinian, the world number 56 coming into this tournament. Short second serve. Sinner comes in off a backhand. There was nothing on that. That was just bluff. And he's passed easy as you like by Cirundolo. Cirundolo holds to start this fourth set. I suppose the only thing in Sinner's favour is that he won the first two sets. If the pills kick in, if he gets better, then maybe he has those two sets in the bag, and at least he knows he could be in a fifth when he might be feeling better. But at this rate, it's not looking good.
He's pouring water on his neck right now. He's trying to cool down. Good luck with that, with this weather conditions. And Cirundolo not playing with a hat is actually beyond belief to me that any of these players out there, men and women, are not playing with a hat.
Oh, so beyond Manarino the other day.
Beyond understanding.
And Manarino's got no hair. And he was playing with no hat. The brioche has disappeared.
No, the brioche
hi,
Elena. The brioche is starting to be a hit.
It is a hit.
I'm very excited.
It's very nice. Serve and volley from Sinner on the opening point. Oh, beautiful touch on the half volley. But Cirundolo gets there. Sinner didn't cover it. Even though Cirundolo almost ended up sitting on his bench after the forehand, he just flips it down the line. And it's love 15. Those serve volleys were working very well early in the match when he had full control of his body and was able to hit the angles he wanted on the serve and get in quickly. He doesn't have that pace now. Not yet, anyway. Now 15. Serve into the net. Slowly trudges back to his serving position. One bounce of the ball and spins it. Whoa, massive miss hit from Cerundolo. That'll help. Lands in the first, well, almost right next to the cameraman in the first row of the stand, right behind Sinner at the presidential end of the court. 15 all. I mean, this is very interesting. Cerundolo just has to keep playing, keep doing what he's doing. But will Sinner improve? Again, serves out wide. Doesn't come in this time, but he's got a forehand. Plays the drop shot. This time it's a better one. He's missed so many of those. Cerundolo will get there, but he won't get the next back volley back into play. And he's 30-15. We often talk, Sophie, about how hard it is to play against an injured player.
Yeah.
But usually they're not this immobile.
Well, yeah. It's hard no matter what, because you have to just completely blank out on your opponent. You have to just think about what you need to do. Just play the right shot. Don't start playing a shot you wouldn't play just because the guy's, you know, the player across the net is injured. It's not easy.
Suddenly they'll run much faster than you think and they'll get there in time. Forehand from Sinner at 30-15. Pushing Cerundolo back into the corner. Then a better, brilliant forehand up the line from Sinner. Sort of slid on his outside foot into the ball and just lashed it up the line. Not much margin for error, but it worked. A couple of game points to win his first game since this all started at 5-1.
I think if I were Cerundolo, I would play the backhand right now. Because he's not going to hit that many winners like this, or at least not with that pace. I mean, it looked like he was about, I'm afraid to say it, to throw up.
Yes, I thought the same thing too, and that's happened before as well. Doesn't serve and volley with the same serve out wide again, just waits for the ball. Another forehand. Blistering forehand up the line from Sinner. He dumps the ball behind him. He does hold serve. That might make him feel a little bit better as he moves quickly. Well, not quickly, he just moves back to the back of the court. I think he is maybe going to throw up at the back of the court. Can't quite see. We're a long way away from him from our position. He's bent double. I don't think anyone wants to stand next to that. No? Well, the ball boy's just gone and stood.
The ball boy is like, this
right
is my
where that was.
No, this is my spot. This is where I stand. Do not throw up where I stand. Please. Oh, that's horrifying.
Poor ball boy. I think he was.
And again, Cerundolo, by the way, in that last rally, where did he hit?
Yeah.
To the forehand. He's got to stay away from that shot.
You're right. And I think Sinner's movement to his backhand has been more compromised than his forehand. He's not hitting the backhand with as much power. He's bashing the forehand, though. He's doing it again. Oh, a thunderous forehand. A lot of anger in that shot.
0-15.
From Yannick Sinner, love 15.
He basically knows that that's the only way he's going to be able to come through is if, one, short rallies, two, shorter rallies.
Again, bent double, looking like he's going to throw up.
Merci.
Just waits. He's about 8 feet behind the baseline. Cerundolo should think about serve and volleying out wide. Doesn't. Goes back to the forehand of Sinner and nets his backhand and it's not 30.
When was the last shot that Cerundolo hit the net? It's got to be at least since maybe, you know, third quarter of the third set.
Yep.
He hit one long, but not in the net.
Takes all the pace off the first serve to get himself forehand. Sinner quickly across to his backhand side, but he's not going to get back over to the forehand. It's like a judgment call for Yannick Sinner right now. If the ball's in his hitting zone, he is going to leather it. If it's the other side of the court and he can't get back, he's not going to bother. And he's still hunched again, stands up to hit, get himself ready for return. 15-30, one all, Cerundolo serving, fourth set. Sinner struggling physically, big time. Drop shot from Sinner, cross court is a beauty. Absolute beauty. Took Cerundolo by surprise and he's got himself a couple of break points.
And especially with the backhand side, like you mentioned earlier, that Sinner loves to hit the forehand drop shot more often, but this one was well hit. Velvet hands.
Yeah, better feel for the ball on that side.
Gorgeous.
And it's given him, unlikely as it sounds, a couple of break points. Cerundolo just rolls his serve into court, then pulls the forehand to the backhand of Sinner, goes straight down the middle of the court. Now he gets a forehand, but he overhits it this time long, and it's 30-40.
Yeah, he's just trying to tee off on anything that comes to his forehand side. going for a winner.
I mean, surely, if you're Surundalo, you just go to the backhand side on this serve. Don't risk Sinner slashing a forehand somewhere. Yeah, that's what
tried,
he was trying,
especially with
but
the
he
left
missed.
Paw.
Sinner was nowhere near that.
Got to slice that ball again on the second serve.
Second serve. Sinner runs round it, moves round it, but nets the forehand return.
Well, tries to nail it inside in return. I mean, he moved way before Surundalo even tossed the ball in his second serve. Still can make it. Now back to deuce. He had two chances here to take a 2-1 lead with a break, but not yet. At least he seems to be feeling a little better.
A little, not necessarily little. Between points. Better return. Ooh. Deep, and the forehand is netted by Surundalo, going for it, but he probably didn't need to.
He doesn't need to, going to the forehand on top of it. You don't want to go for it on the forehand, if anything.
This is where, you know,
make him play.
This is where the lack of experience, Surundalo is 56 in the world, but not played at this level before in the Grand Slams. Serves out wide to Sinner. Sinner break point. In drop shot from Surundalo's terrible. Sinner gets to it easily. Should put a smash away. No, he doesn't. It's over his head because he didn't get up to it. He gets the ball back. Does he? No, it's long. Wow. Little bit of luck, perhaps, in the lob from Surundalo, but it worked out well and saves another break point. It's juice.
Well, on top of that, the lob was so good that Sinner was chasing it the whole time. Didn't even have the speed that he wants to push on those legs as a sprint toward that ball. He's still crouched over here trying to return back to deuce. Oh boy,
long game as well. Bigger serve this time from Surundalo, blocked back hard on the backhand side by Sinner, gets to it nicely. Now he hits a backhand up the line, looking to work over the backhand of Surundalo. Forehand from Sinner, now backhand from Sinner, inside out backhand drop shot from Surundalo is brilliant. Didn't look like it was going to be a drop shot. Looked like it was just going to be a regulation slice. Instead, it just dropped dead over the other side of the court. And Sinner again is bent double. Well, every single point, he's leaning over onto his left hand on his left knee. Really, seriously struggling. You don't like to see people go through this kind of stuff on a tennis court. Ace from Surundalo. Hold of serve. Three break points saved, and it's 2-1 to the Argentinian in the fourth set. Two sets to one. Sinner leads.
Sinner taking his hat off, I'm sorry.
Probably to drench himself in ice, no doubt.
Yeah. Sitting down now with a
just going to pour a bottle of water over his head.
He needs some ice. Where's the ice?
I would just go and stick my head in that fridge.
I would actually go in the fridge
get
myself.
Get in the fridge.
Get in the freezer. Just let me see if I can fit in, but I'm sure I can fit a few of my limbs.
Yeah, exactly. At least just dive your head in. Feel better for a second.
This is painful.
It is painful. I mean, you know, you mentioned...
I mean, here we are sitting down in the air conditioning booth, and I mean, these poor guys out there are just having the worst time of their life. Well, at least one of them right now.
Well, this is what, you know, you mentioned survival of the fittest, sort of semi-joking in terms of who's last man standing, but it's not meant to be like that.
No.
It's meant to be people playing at the peak of their...
And being
abilities.
So physically, you know, obviously to
exactly,
the peak of their game as well,
big
but
time.
We don't want them to be like this.
Wow, Marcus has arrived. He looks like
Marcus,
he's been at a rock
is,
show.
Is singing.
He's been at a concert.
I love rock and roll. Come on, sing it. What is this? Rat?
That brioche is in danger now, Marcus.
I don't
has
know
arrived.
What that is. You can explain later. Some Brit thing here. He's got a t-shirt with a rat on him. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. Do I want to see this? Who wear? Oh, that's a band.
Marcus, did you watch Marcus Willis? Were you out there watching? No, it's too hot, isn't it? Yeah, but good win for him. Very good.
How are you today?
So, sit live,
Marcus?
At, live at number 68 in the live rankings. I think Marcus is doing a lot better than Yannick Sinner. That's what I think. Fitness-wise, health-wise right now, Sinner is struggling. It's, we reckon, 25 minutes maybe since he had some pills, took something from the doctor, and he's definitely moving a little bit better, but not properly.
That. It's not the... It's, I mean, everybody's struggling. The fans are struggling. The players are struggling.
There's a bit more on that first serve. Drop shot from Sinner.
Boy,
terrible one.
Missed.
Forehand drop shot again. He should put that away. He's not even made a single one of those. It's not been a good shot even when he was feeling good earlier. And he is now love 15 at 1-2. Marcus is just off air asking Sophie the rule about why Sinner was allowed to leave the court at 5-4, love 40. I think it's because if you're physically unable to even move or do anything, you have to be given the chance to recover. You know, it looked like he was ready to be sick. You can't obviously start stripping points off them. Well, he's losing points now, though, because having missed those three break points, he's left 30.
The rule is if you're unable to continue, doesn't matter what the score is, you are able to ask for the trainer. It's a rule. He's not getting any favors. It is the rule for any players, makes sense.
If it was just cramping, he would have to just say, okay, you have this point. Maybe even give up the next game if he wanted to have treatment. But... because he just could not continue, or decided he couldn't continue. He's in trouble again. 1-2, love 37 volley. Up goes the lob from Sorundolo. It's not good. And Sinner puts a bit of extra meat into that smash. The one thing Sorundolo has not worked out in this match is how to deal with that serve and volley out wide on the juice court. He's not changed his return position at all. He is just keeps chucking up little simple lobs, and Sinner has won maybe 95% of the points on that particular play. Sophie, I think, is making her way out of the commentary box. Thank you very much, Sophie.
I told you I have to go get my shoulder blade taken care of because it's so painful.
Well, having bought the brioche, we'll allow you to do that.
Oh, you give me a
totally
break.
Fine. That's go find nice Yannick Sinner's physio. Sinner belts a forehand off the top of the net, and luck is not going his way either now because the ball balloons off the top of the net, long over the baseline, and it is 15-14.
Marcus came up here just to have lunch.
Well, yeah. Brioche is very nice, Marcus. It's lovely.
That would be your dessert, Marcus, after your sandwich that you're inhaling right now.
Very good. No, it's nice. It's lovely. Trust me. 15-40, Sinner, serving volley down the tee, and he comes, drop volley, half volley, drop. Oh my word, that's awesome. But Sorundolo gets there, and he just pushes a forehand down the line past an inert Yannick Sinner. It's 3-1 Sorundolo, and this is looking very much like it's going to go five sets, but whether Yannick Sinner can finish it or recover looks very much debatable.
That was a great get, by the way, on Sorundolo to get there and to then place it so gently down the line. So I'm going to let Eleanor take over here.
All right.
And I say au revoir to everybody, and
thank you very much,
enjoy
Sophie.
The rest of your day, everyone. Bye.
Thank you. Jiminy says, the conditions are part of the test who is the best. It makes the sport, all sports, better and more intriguing. This is why players do conditioning. 30 to 32 degrees centigrade is not nearly as bad as everyone's making it out to be. Well, Jiminy, I think if you were running around in it, I think you might feel slightly different. When no one is ever... I don't think you're suggesting that Yannick Sinner doesn't do conditioning. Trainings is well-conditioned an athlete as any of them. He's able to play like that for 5 hours on a court against the best players in the world. Sometimes your body just responds in different ways to heat. And maybe he needs to do some more investigation as to what's going on, but it's not a conditioning issue. Let's put that to bed right now. There are way more different...
Radio Roland Garros. Radio Roland Garros will be with you from 11 local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Radio Roland Garros.
Listen again, replay.
Things at stake, and it's not just, he's not just cramping, he was feeling dizzy. So,
zero
to lock to it. Hello.
Hello, Simon. Well, this is a turn-up for the books, isn't it?
Yes, and in this game as well, it's love 30 on the Sorundolo serve, so maybe he can get it back. But yes, it really is a shocker, total shocker.
I mean, a shocker in the sense that we've just become so used to Sinner just cruising almost through matches, and you look at him on the order of play and you think, well, that'll be done nice and quickly. And he's just been so supreme and so serene in his progress through tournaments recently that you forget that he's a human being. And he's showing his human side today in terms of his body is just not doing what he wants it to do. His tennis is there. And he's got now three breakback points.
Yeah, he's starting to hit the ball better again. He's not really moving properly yet. But as I said, those pills, it's about half an hour since he had them. You would expect them to start kicking in if they are going to work about now. And Sorundolo, not been in this position before. He's got to keep doing the right things. It's a good second serve there to save the first of the break points. But Sinner Yeah, it's a shock, not so much in the sense that he's cramping or struggling, because we've seen him struggle like this in similar situations over the last year or so. But it is a shock because he was 6'3", 6'2", 5'1", and wasn't able to finish it off.
Shades of Casper Ruud.
Worse.
A few days ago.
Well, you know, not as bad in terms of the way... I mean, Ruud looked all over the shop. He was in mega, mega trouble. Sinner also in big trouble as he hits a good backhand return, and the backhand is flirting with the line from Cerúndolo. Drop shot from the Argentinian. Sinner gets there on the backhand. Back forehand up the line from Cerúndolo is onto the baseline. That was very close, and Sinner is struggling physically again on the cramping side of things.
Well, he only just managed to chase down that drop shot, which in ordinary circumstances he'd have been there darting across the court, but too good from Cerúndolo.
It was right onto the baseline.
But it had to be very good, and it was.
Still break point. Sinner crouching forward. Serve to the backhand, sliced back, chopped back by Sinner. Is he going to get to the forehand? He is. The ball's going to land just in. He's got a chance now because the forehand is into the middle of the court from Cerúndolo to the backhand of Sinner. Goes up the line. Backhand from Cerúndolo, mid-court. Sinner belts a forehand. Back in play by Cerúndolo. Sinner just waits for it. Doesn't really move into position. He doesn't move at all for the next backhand. Inexplicable from Yannick Sinner. Couldn't get anywhere near it. And back to deuce.
Well, and doubled over again. It was just, I think, shaking his right leg there. He's dealing with a lot of discomfort at the moment, is the world number one.
He's struggling more to move to the left than to the right. So his backhand is more exposed than his forehand. But yeah, I mean, he's physically in bits. He's in all sorts of trouble.
Let's calm yourselves.
Emily says, I can't imagine how frustrating it must be for Sinner to have his career so impacted by his susceptibility to heat. It's a shame. It's something he can't control. It's dictating his matches at the moment. He's still in there, though. He hasn't given up yet. Drop shot from Sinner is poor. It's given Cerúndolo game point. We'll change. Make a change in the commentary box in a minute, and I'll go and have a lie down. Marcus can take over.
Talking of in pieces, here's Marcus.
Marcus is fresh and ready to go.
He is fresh as a daisy. Yeah, it's an extraordinary contradiction, isn't it, for Sinner to be so extraordinarily accomplished as Cerúndolo just hold serve there,
fending
off those break points, to be so incredibly accomplished and yet have this vulnerability in his body. And as Simon was saying, no doubt there will be investigations going on with his team and medical tests and anything they can do to find out how they can rectify it, whether it's changing how he tried to hydrate before matches, the balance of electrolytes in his system. He will have access, of course, to the best sports scientists in the world, and I'm sure that he will be he'll be tapping into that enormous reserve of knowledge to try and work out how he can avoid this in the future. I mean, it is very hot here, but this is not by the standards of the Australian Open, for example. We are in the low to mid 30s, and I'm sure on court it's obviously the temperature is much higher than that. But this is something that he struggled with in lower temperatures than this, and it may be as his body develops and he continues to play at the highest level, it may be something that he finds a way to resolve. But not easy for Yannick Sinner, and you do feel now it's a case of whether Cerúndolo can hold his nerve, because at some point the hydration and the pills that Yannick Sinner has taken, the medical treatment that he's taken, will kick in. And as Simon and Sophie have been telling you, he was just teeing off, really, not moving his feet at all, just static there, teeing off left and right and hoping for the best. You're right, Marcus.
Yes, it was a rather unfortunate moment because as I put my headphones on, I had a coughing fit.
Oh, dear.
But I'm okay now, thank you very much.
Okay, do you need a medical timeout?
Well, I might.
You need to run off court.
Let me try a game or two and see how I feel. But honestly, Lady E, this is extraordinary.
It is extraordinary. It's... In some ways, it's not unprecedented because we did feel that this was the one chink in the armour of Yannick Sinner coming into this tournament when we saw the weather forecast. And I think especially when we saw the order of play and Sinner playing in the heat of the day for the first time, it was always going to be a test of the body.
But I was walking in, listening to the excellent commentary of Simon and Sophie as Sinner double faults.
0-15.
And, you know, he's up two sets. He's a game away from victory. There was no sign of what was suddenly to occur. And here we are now facing the big upset, potentially. It's not over yet. As Sinner misses his first serve by a mile. Do you think he's basically just packed this set in and he's going to try and preserve whatever strength he's got left for the fifth?
I think he's struggling to get any elevation and any power out of his legs. And I think that's the problem with his serve.
Well, he's just missed yet another forehand to go to love 30. And the crowd is a good-sized crowd inside Châtre, despite it being another brutally hot day. We have got some clouds, as we promised you yesterday. Another miss first serve. While I say clouds, I can see one.
The smallest cloud is currently hovering above
Actually, there's
poor
a
Philippe
second
Châtre.
One. There's a second one over there as well.
Yes, there is. But it's almost as if it's the lower body is shut down for Sinner and he's just doing everything with his arms. He's just teeing off where he can. When he's right next to the ball, he can tee off more so on the forehand than the backhand side, as Simon was saying. The serve's just got no power on it.
I can only imagine what is going through his mind and indeed what is going through Cirindolo's mind as well. He's just got to keep going because he'll think that at any moment Sinner will suddenly snap back into it. It looked like a world number one again, but another short ball and Cirindolo comes forward and plays a drop shot and Sinner just stands there and watches him do that and faces more break points. Some good stats inevitably if Cirindolo goes on to win this match. First of all, Lady E, who's the last world number one to lose from two sets up?
On the men's side?
Yep. Couldn't happen on the women's side.
Very good point.
Give you a moment to think about that. It's much easier than you think, actually. Attempted drop shot with a plus one from Sinner. He's been broken with a whimper. And Juan Manuel Cirindolo now leads by 5-1 in the fourth set, trailing by 2-1. I'll give you a clue, Lady E. You're looking at him.
Yannick Sinner.
In the final last year,
thank you.
But actually,
I was looking at Marcus and really, that was very confusing.
I must say, when I was asked the question, I didn't get. Sometimes, you know, when it's just happened, you forget.
Well, I think you get the kind of reverse of recency bias, don't you? Where you almost sort of wipe out anything that's happened in the last year or so.
And there's an interesting list of players to beat the number one seed at Roland Garros prior to the third round in the Open era.
Robin Söderling.
Sorry, that was after the third round. The coughing fits come back. Now, I've got four men who have beaten the number one seed at Roland Garros prior to the third round in the Open era. As Cirindolo goes to 5-1, 30 love. The most recent time that happened, it was actually 26 years ago.
With Sergei Bruguera.
Yes. Well, that was in 1990. That's a great shout. Beating which number one? As
40-0.
Well, I mean, I was...
We discussed it the other day.
That serve was long because of the way Sinner just did not bother getting to it. But no set points. We did. You've got until the end of this set to get the answer right, or it's another day of pay docked, because we did talk about it very recently. That's the set. It's an ace. Not really very difficult to serve an ace to a man who's not moving. And after 3 hours, we are going into the deciding set. Now, Sinner is walking very slowly back to his chair. He was looking towards the umpire just for a moment. I wondered if he was going to say, that's it, enough is enough. But no, he's sitting down again underneath one of those Roland Garros umbrellas. So too is Juan Manuel Cirindolo, and honestly, this is intriguing, bizarre, dramatic, significant. What's Novak Djokovic thinking right now? What's Sasha Zverev thinking right now? All those who could potentially benefit hugely from an early exit of the world number one.
Well, I can tell you that there will be double takes all around Roland Garros. Every TV screen will have people around it, including the one in the players' locker rooms. People will be talking about this. They'll react as you're probably reacting right now if you've just joined us at Radio Roland Garros and seen that Yannick Sinner could be on the verge of going out of this tournament. He's very, very physically impaired. Basically, he's playing walking tennis is what he's doing at the moment. He's able to get racket on ball, but he's not able to move at all. There's very little power on his serve. And we're seeing a shadow of the world number one, this all-conquering player who came into this tournament as such a strong favourite. It's extraordinary stuff, isn't it, Marcus?
It really is. He's leaning forward in his chair. He's looking up rather forlornly towards his box. One question that I asked you, Eleanor, as we came in, has also been asked by love backhand Bobby, who says, surely, if you ask for the trainer during a game, you forfeit the game. Now, he went off court at love 40. Sophie and Simon have been explaining that that was within the rules, although Bobby says Serena Castile left the court to be sick against Jasmine Paolini here a few years ago and lost a point. Is that not the same for Sinner? I know you're very good with rules and regulations, if ever laying them down.
Well, I'm going to find the appropriate paragraph in the Grand Slam rule book because that's what we'll be working to here. And sometimes there are differences between the tour rules and the Grand Slam rules, so it's important that we make sure that we look at what rules we're actually looking at here. My understanding is that you certainly wouldn't be docked a point. I'm not sure about the Castilla match that Bobby's referring to, but if you are in extremis and you need medical treatment, then you can have medical treatment immediately, including for heat-related issues.
OK, I'll let you thumb through the rule books. The court is being doused in water. Two players continue to sit in their chairs. Some differing opinions from those of you listening, and we love to hear from you as always. Do continue to get in touch at radio_RG. At radio_RG is our X handle. French Open Radio at fft.fr is the email. That's French Open Radio at fft.fr. Austin Leclerc says anyone who thinks watching a match that is essentially survival of the fittest should go and watch a season of Survivor. If Sinner loses, tennis fans lose. He's a beautiful player to watch, and we are missing out if he exits this tournament early. Jiminy Greenfield says, well, he's struggled with long matches his whole career. And Jiminy also says the conditions are part of the test of who is the best. It makes the sport, all sports, better and more intriguing. That is why players do conditioning. 30 to 32 degrees centigrade is not nearly as bad as everyone is making it out to be. Let's have your thoughts as we get the fifth and final set underway. Has Sinner saved up enough to at the very least be competitive?
S'il vous plaît, merci.
Also bring you up to speed with some of the other latest scores and the results that we've had today. As Sinner, he's going to serve and volley. High return, Sinner's underneath it. Oh dear, his overhead is awful. But it was very clever from Cerundolo, who saw Sinner coming in behind his serve, stuck up a really high return, and on the stretch, the smash went, well, it went very long.
Well, if you are struggling to get any power out of your legs and you're struggling to do that on serve, you're going to struggle equally, aren't you, trying to hit an overhead?
Backhand reply from Cerundolo's got plenty of depth on it, so they'll enter a baseline slugfest, which is not really what Sinner wants to do. He wants to play on the forehand. He's gone inside in. Slice backhand cross-court from Cerundolo, who's playing his double-hander now to the Sinner forehand. He looks to pull the trigger, goes down the line, but nets.
0-30.
Two sets up. 5-1 up. And now Jannik Sinner is in danger of being broken at the start of the fifth.
Ricky says, can Jannik Sinner start to use the underarm serve? He absolutely can. I'm not sure it's particularly wise. But yes, he has that option. I think he's going to do anything he thinks might work. And certainly the element of surprise is given by the underarm serve.
Oh, he's coming in behind his first serve again. Cerundolo went back across court with the return, but he's wide. So Sinner's on the board in set number five. Big match on court, Suzanne Long-Len, that I was keeping a close eye on between Adolfo Daniel Vallejo of Paraguay and Moise Kouame, the 17-year-old who caused headlines with victory a couple of days ago. He's about to go out, I think, because he's 5-3 down in the fifth. Vallejo at 15-all is 3 points from victory. Backhand from Cerundolo up the middle of the court, and now he's hammering one onto that Sinner backhand side. That's the weaker side. He's struggling to move onto that side, although he looks better there, does Sinner. Now he plays the forehand, the off forehand. This is more like the Sinner we've become accustomed to seeing until he pulls the trigger of a sort with an attempted drop shot, which never really looked like getting over the net.
Well, I think we should be prepared that for the fact that Sinner could also turn this around. And I know that sounds bizarre in the circumstances, but if Sinner can find a little bit of a better condition, if the pills that he's taken kick in, if the hydration that he takes kicks in, then all is not lost for Sinner. But he's in trouble again on serve in the opening games of the fifth here.
He certainly is. He's facing two break points at 15-40. He serves out wide, up goes a high return. Now Sinner will let that bounce and surely he can put that one away, and he does. Had all the time in the world for that little clench of the fist, pointed his racket towards his team. Maybe he's saying, maybe I'm not completely done yet.
Well, I think we both were on air when Casper Ruud was playing his match. Now two sets up, 5-3 up. Looked absolutely home and in the locker room, and an hour later, there he was, struggling with his physical condition, lost a set to Love, really looked like he was going to retire.
But he came back to win, and he's won again since then. Now, the forehand cross court from Sinner, in he comes. He pushes a drive volley right into the corner. Oh, yes, he played that with precision. So he saves a couple of break points early in this deciding set. Austin's come back. He's not very happy with what Jiminy's been saying about how players have got to deal with these conditions. Sounds like we have a bunch of ultra-marathoneers listening to Relia Roland Garros today. Apparently, everyone knows what it's like to play a highly competitive sport in 30-stroke, 90-degree weather.
Well, it's a very good point, Austin. None of us knows what it's like to be out there playing that highest possible level of tennis.
So serve and volley routine again from Sinner, and he's got an easy enough overhead. Doesn't put it away, so he's going to have to do it again. That wasn't as easy, and he makes an absolute mess of it.
Well, again, no power in the legs. Wasn't in quite the right position to hit that smash. And that shot really a hostage to the lack of movement that Sinner has. I think Sinner's only hope here is that raw talent gets him to a certain point, by which time, as I said, the medical treatments that he's had will have kicked in. But it's probably 45 minutes or so since Sinner had treatment.
Well, Sinner comes in again behind his serve, and this time, well, he hasn't actually completely put away the ball at the net. Up goes a very high, very good lob from Cerundolo, and the point continues with the ball going straight back down the middle of the court with depth. And there's a miss hit on his baseline from Sinner, and he's been broken. Both players, of course, going back to their chair. Sinner is barely moving. He's almost leaning against the umpire's chair for a moment, and he's bending over by his own chair. Now, again, it looks as though he's about to throw up.
He's doubled over, isn't he? Hands on knees. He doesn't want to sit down. He can't sit down. He just needs to try and keep body and soul together, try and just find a way through. It was an excellent crowd catch, by the way, off that last Sinner miss hit. Went flying high in the air, and a well-positioned member of the public, two hands, beautiful stuff. Sinner, though, he's almost staggering to the back of the court, isn't he? He's moving so slowly. He does not look a well man.
No, he really doesn't. Now, have you worked out yet who Sergei Bruguera beat, which world number one he beat here in the first round in 1990?
Stefan Edberg?
Is absolutely right. It's not an easy name. Cerundolo serving, and the return is into the net. He's looking to become only the fifth man to defeat the men's number one seed at Roland Garros prior to the third round in the Open era. Eleanor's absolutely right. Sergei Bruguera did it against Edberg in 1990. Ramon Delgado did it at the expense of Pete Sampras. As a forehand from Cerundolo lands right on Sinner's baseline, and he goes long in return. That was in 1998 in the second round. Dominic Hibati saw off Yevgeny Kafelnikov in the second round in 1999. And the most recent time It happened was in 2000 when Andre Agassi in the second round was beaten by Carol Kuchera as Cerundolo just leans into an effortless forehand winner. This is a non-event. Sinner effectively has gone here. He's not coming back. Not unless we see one of the great miraculous recoveries physically of all time.
Or Cerundolo suddenly starts to get a little nervous, a little unsure, starts to take this win for granted. It's a very unusual situation for everybody, including Cerundolo.
It's just a little warning for Cerundolo and a little suggestion that Lady maybe knows what she's talking about, because Sinner just leant into that backhand cross-court return and planted it right on the sideline for a winner. Goes without saying this would be Cerundolo's biggest win. That looked like a long first serve. There's no call, and in comes Cerundolo to put away the plus one into the open court, and he doubles his advantage at the start of this deciding set. Now leads by two games to love. He'll become, Lady E, the first Argentinian to defeat a world number one since the US Open in 2018, when Juan Martín Del Potro defeated Rafael Nadal. And the first Argentinian on clay to do so since 2003 at the Davis Cup, when Cayeri saw off Juan Carlos Ferrero. I mean, these are big stats. Running forehand winner now from Cerundolo. Sinner stranded mid-court.
0-15.
And as he walks back to get the ball, he almost took a meandering walk, as if he's a little bit disorientated. I mean, none of us knows what's going on in Sinner's mind or Sinner's body right now, but as I said, he looks as though he is really, really struggling. And it's a question now of whether he can somehow find something of a miracle, really, and regroup physically.
Serves right onto the baseline. Deep return from Cerundolo, who goes down the line to the Sinner backhand, which is the right thing to do. Now he plays an off forehand. Sinner will slap a forehand cross court to the Argentinian's double hander. He takes all the pace off the ball. Sinner leans into his backhand. Now he's going to club a forehand to the backhand wing of his opponent. Now he's going to try the drop shot. That's a good drop shot. Cerundolo's got it back, but he's going to be passed comfortably. And that was a much better, much more cleverly constructed point from the world number one.
Well, that's a promising sign for Sinner that he has at least some clarity of thought, because one of the things that can happen when you're really struggling in the heat is that your mind can go a bit fuzzy and your decision-making is not as good. Your reflexes are not as strong. Your brain's not moving as fast.
I've had a thought with my British hat on.
I mean, one of those is very surprising.
Despite that retort, I shall share it with you after this point. Forehands long from Sinner. Of course, Cerundolo beat Jacob Fernley of Great Britain in the first round. Ifs, buts and maybes. But had Fernley managed to get through that match, we could have a Brit poised to cause a sensation. I mean, the stats there about a Brit beating a... Well, actually, Andy Murray would have done it, but it would still have been a very noteworthy experience.
Yes, I mean, in some ways, given the situation, Sinner might have preferred to play a kind of Fernley-style player because the points would have been a bit shorter.
Well, let's see how long this point can go. Cerundolo's happy for it to go on all day if necessary. He plays the off forehand. Or, well, he'd be happy to let the point continue just to exhaust Sinner even more, but he's equally happy just to dance across and plant an off forehand for a clean winner. Good angle. Nothing that Sinner could do about that. And the situation gets worse and worse for the world number one. He's facing more break points to go a double breakdown in this fifth set.
Woody says, sunbathing in scorching east of England, listening to the excellent commentary. There's a lot of brilliant South American players that will take advantage when a top player is off their game. They handle the heat very well.
Well, Cerundolo doesn't handle that return particularly well. He was a long way behind his baseline, rather mishit his forehand into the net. So one break point is saved. Jody's got back in touch. Says, Marcus, you called this extraordinary. It's extraordinarily sad. It's tough. It's so tough. These conditions, of course, have asked a lot of questions. Return is right onto the baseline from Cirundolo. Now the drop shot. Sinner's got a race forward. He's got to the ball. He's played it down the line. And the attempt to lob Sinner from Cirundolo was not good. Sinner had sufficient strength to wind himself up and put away the ball and get back from 15-40 to juice.
Well, how important could this game be for Sinner? I still feel that at some point he's going to start to feel a little bit better. He's having those ice towels around his neck at change of ends. He's pouring water all over himself. He's had, as we were telling you earlier, a couple of medical timeouts.
Love to juice. Backhand return is... Sinner was coming in again. Cirundolo saw that, so he went across court with a short angle on his backhand wing, but couldn't quite find the sideline. So it's a game point for Sinner. Moise Kwame is fighting all the way in that match on court. Suzanne Longland, he was a breakdown in the deciding set against Adolfo Daniel Vajajo of Paraguay, but he's now got a point, the 17-year-old, to level things up at 5 games all. And if this match does finish before that one, we'll head across because there's a terrific atmosphere. But of course, we can't take our eyes off what's going on in front of us on court. Philippe Chatrier and the latest installment sees a very ill-judged backhand drop shot from Sinner drop into the net, and we're back to juice at love two.
Well, Sinner just walking to the side of the court to try and towel down. Other than when you're sitting down at change of ends and one of the ball kids holds an umbrella over you, there's just no shade. You can't go into a corner at this time of day and find a little bit of respite from the heat.
Yeah, Simon and Sophie were having a really interesting conversation about that a little earlier. As Sinner serves into the net, how Craig Tiley in Australia is on the march looking to find more shaded areas at all the slams. And, of course, it's something that's got to be considered as the temperatures continue to climb all around the world. Running forehand cross-court from Cirundolo. Now he's got a mid-court ball, plays the inside-in forehand. Another forehand onto that backhand of Sinner where he looks much more uncomfortable. Short angle again on the forehand cross-court from Cirundolo. Now he whips one down the middle. The drop shot again from Sinner is bad. He's tried several of those of late. I understand why, because he just wants to end the point. But I can only recall one that's actually worked.
And again, Sinner doubled over at the end of that point. You wonder if actually being publicly ill, for want of a less elegant phrase, or vomiting, to put it more bluntly, whether that would actually do him good, because he's looked several times as though he's been on the verge.
Yes, that is. Well, it's not a nice thought, but it makes sense. Eleanor, speaking from experience, having often felt better after a big night out following some public vomiting. Now a backhand cross court to the forehand of Cirundolo. He just misses long.
Well, if only we had a vomitory. Which, of course, we do here at Roland Garros.
And on that subject, our team dinner is a week tonight.
I think you are leading our listeners astray. Not for the first time, Marcus. It's always a very sober night.
Sobering as the Empress reads out our grades, tells us what more we can do to improve over the final 4 days. No, 3 days. Gosh, my mass is terrible.
Well, there's
back
one thing
juice.
You can work on.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, no need to work on that. Return from Cirundolo again. Sinner was coming in behind the serve, and Cirundolo just stroked the ball back up the line for a winner, and it's another break point for a double break. Moise Kwame has levelled things up at 5-5 in the fifth against Vallejo.
Radio Roland Garros. Radio Roland Garros will be with you from 11 local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Radio Roland Garros.
Listen again, replay.
After 4 hours and 21 minutes, Francisco Cirundolo, the older brother of the man we're watching, is in a pretty good position against Hugo Gaston, having lost the first set. He won the second 6-4, and he's about to serve for the third at 5-2. So I think we could quite positively suggest that the Cirundolo family may well be the happiest in the whole of France tonight. Good forehand again from Juan Manuel. He's come in. Sinner's trying to pass him, but he's put his forehand into the net. Cerúndolo has broken again. He now has a double break in the deciding set against the world number one, having trailed by 2 sets to love.
Well, that's the insurance for Cerúndolo, isn't it? Just in case he starts to get a little bit nervous, gets a bit of a wobble, which would be completely understandable as and when he gets nearer the finish line. Meanwhile, Sinner sitting at change of ends. He's got the ice towel almost wrapped around his forehead, so he's holding it around the middle of his head, bringing the two sides to his face, just trying to cool the temperature down. A ball girl standing close to him has just handed him a handheld fan, which he's holding up to his face. Cerúndolo's sitting there like he's in, you know, the Arctic. I'm surprised he doesn't put a jumper on. He's certainly taking on fluids, but he's not taking advantage of any of the things that are laid on here on hot days to try and help players' welfare. And I think Sinner is trying to use all of them. He keeps looking forlornly at his players' box. I'm sure this must be a very difficult day for them as well, to watch their charge in such physical distress.
Moise Kwam is down in a heap on Court Suzanne Longlin. I didn't see exactly what happened, but he's not getting up. I think he's okay. It's 5-all, 15-all on the Vallejo serve. The umpire has actually now gone across and is helping Kwame up and giving him a towel. That's most unusual. So all sorts of drama there. And no shortage of it here either. Cerúndolo serving at 3-love in the final set against the prohibitive favourite to win the title at the start of this fortnight, a man who'd won 30 matches in a row, Jannik Sinner, who just stands still again and watches as Cerúndolo fires another forehand winner up the line.
A horrible thought just occurred to me, which is that only one person, I think, in the entire team did not pick Sinner as favourite for the title.
Well, that's very true.
And sadly, dear listener, he's here.
He is?
Prepare to not hear the end of it.
Absolutely. Ooh, hang on a minute. Sinner has just leapt forward there. He's in the hitting zone and he's hit an inside-in service return winner. And I don't know if Stefan can clip it up, but a day or two ago I did say to you, something unusual is going to happen here. And that's why I'm tipping Novak Djokovic. I can see the future. That's why I tipped Elena Rybakina to win on the women's front. Not. Unfortunately, my tip has gone there. My dark horse is still going. That's Kostya. We won't talk to Elena about dark horses. 30-15, 3-love. Cerúndolo serves to the forehand. Shortish return. Now he plays an off forehand to the Sinner forehand wing. He's not really timing the ball. Jannik, he has to stretch really low on his double hander. That hurt. Hurt even more that it didn't get over the net. And it's 40-15. It really is only a matter of time now before Jannik Sinner officially exits Roland Garros 2026. And I did not think I would be saying those words today. First serve into the net. Andy's been in touch. He's getting ready to give a talk tomorrow at a sports medicine meeting about gastrointestinal issues in ultra runners. Backhand return from Sinner is onto the baseline. It was picked up on the half volley from Cerúndolo. Sinner nets and Cerúndolo extends his advantage to 4-love in the fifth. And Andy says, yes, we often see runners, quote, reset after emptying out.
Sorry if you're having lunch.
A rather nicer way of saying it than the one provided by Lady E just a few moments ago. And he says, actually, that includes my wife at Western States 2 years ago. I'm sure she's delighted that Andy's sharing that with the world.
Well, it is part of athletic endeavour, isn't it? This, you know, you can say survival of the fittest if you like, but it is about how you cope with all the conditions around you, be the court surface, your opponent, the weather. You know, this is something that we've always talked about in relation to the Australian Open, haven't we? That that is part of the challenge of winning the Australian Open, and a little bit also the US Open, which has a lot of very high humidity often. It's just not something we're used to talking about here.
Well, we'll be talking about this match for some time to come, because it's going to transform the complexion on the men's side of things, at least. Slice, low slice from Cerundolo down the line. He's repeated that shot. Slice back by Sinner. Oh, it's a slice fest at the moment. Crowd's quite enjoying this now. The off forehand from Cerundolo. Sinner tried to end it all with a running forehand down the line, but he's netted.
Well, I think Cerundolo trying to be a little bit too clever there almost. I think he's realised that Sinner's struggling on the backhand side. Making Sinner go low to hit slice after slice might just test the Sinner body even more. As once more, crowd reacting to him, doubling over, hands on top of his legs. He's taken a deep breath. He's able to serve.
Love 4-15 all. Loopy return that Sinner will comfortably put away as he comes in again. There was absolutely no power behind that return. I think even I would have been able to put that one away.
Joanne says, I do feel so much for Sinner, but we really need to give Cerundolo credit for keeping his cool, in inverted commas. Not easy to serve out to a player of Sinner's quality. He's doing really well. Joanne says, thank you for keeping me company during a boring supermarket shop in Glasgow.
It turns wide from Cerundolo. Yes, I do admire Sinner to the extent that he is keeping going here, where he must know it's hopeless, but he's battling to the very end. I sometimes find going to the supermarket very therapeutic. I don't know about you, Lady E.
Oh, I like a supermarket shop.
Do you?
Very much so.
I mean, the only annoying thing, and everyone says it about supermarkets, is the way that, you know, just when you've got used to where everything is, they change it all around. And I know why they do it, but it's so frustrating. A bigger serve from Sinner, and the return goes long, so he has managed to get on the board. He holds to 15. Cerundolo leads by 4-1. Do you always have a trolley in the supermarket?
Almost always.
Why might you not?
If I'm not buying very many things.
Well, yeah, but obviously. But I mean, why is it that you almost always go to buy lots of things? Do you not have a regular routine that once a week you'll do the big family shop?
No, because I try and use our local shops in our town. So I try to use the greengrocer and the butcher and the baker in an old-fashioned sort of way. And I only go to the supermarket when I really, really need to.
Do you go to the candlestick maker too? How's business with him these days?
I'm not sure. I mean, the DJ's been doing sterling work this week. I'm not sure that he's reading the room with this.
No. It's certainly not the way that Yannick's feeling right now. Mad Martin's been in touch. Good to hear from Mad Martin. He may well have contacted us earlier this week. I hadn't seen a message from him, but he's been a regular correspondent over the years. Says, I think it's clear that Sinner is without doubt the best player in the best of three sets, but that's why majors are so special, for the roller coaster that is the best of five, as we are seeing today. And that's a good point, because of course at Masters level he's been quite remarkable. He's won the last six, but in terms of the slams he stands at 4 in total. His arch rival Carlos Alcaraz, who will be even more frustrated now that he's had to miss this particular slam with a wrist injury, and of course Wimbledon to come. Well, although he's the best part of 2 years younger than Sinner, he has 7. Cerundolo is serving at 4-1. He hasn't got any, but he is poised to record the biggest win of his career. That doesn't help, though. He's double faulted. Clipped the top of the tape with his second serve, and it bounced long. What a battle between Vallejo and Kouame on Suzanne Longlen. Now 4.5 hours in duration. It's 5-5 in the fifth on the Vallejo serve, and they're locked together at deuce. Deep return from